Amen. All right, so we finished Acts chapter 2 last Sunday, and we're going to pick up from there, and I just want to, I'll give you real quick an idea of what we want to do this morning in the next few minutes. Oh, this may be... Okay, so last week we talked a little bit about what's the big idea, right? What's the big idea with church? And we talked about the start. How did the Big C Church, or the Universal Church, meaning all believers, all time, how did that really start? What did Jesus do to kick that off? And we looked at the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we looked at the beginning of the book of Acts that gives us a part of that story. Today, we're going to briefly follow that story through a little bit more, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts, the practical stuff. And then we're going to finish just by talking about the big themes, okay? So we're going to do a lot in a short amount of time before we pray over the students. Is everyone okay with that? Okay, so that's how we're going to take it one step at a time. Nate, I might need you to just do this for me. Let's start. I'm going to skip ahead to chapter 4. And what we're going to do is actually just highlight a few parts from the book of Acts to keep us focused on the big picture, okay? So we finished with chapter 2, and now we're going to go and we're going to read Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 35. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to grab one. We've got some extras right here. You can take one of them home if you like. They're donated, they're free, and they are the New Living, which is what we tend to read on Sunday mornings, just a little bit easier for the average person to understand. So Acts chapter 4, please feel free to grab a Bible. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 35. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Now, to give you some backtrack, this is not the pastors talking. Okay? This is people like you. Okay? Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. You ready for an earthquake? After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that would be the pastors and the elders, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Nate, we'll go next. It's important for you to understand that at the beginning of the church, you cannot escape miracles, crazy things happening, and people sharing with each other. Okay? That's a part of the story we cannot cut out. We cannot eliminate. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Now, this is referring to all believers. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, last week we talked a little bit about that idea, gathered and scattered. Right? They would get together for bigger meetings on the weekends, and during the week they would meet house to house. Okay? Now, next we're going to chapter 11. Flip a couple pages to your right there. I'm going to read a little bit of a bigger chunk here. Chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. If you're there, say yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, good. Some of you are breathing. Some of you are just a little too... Okay. We won't finish that sentence. All right, chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God and only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. Now, what was the evidence of God's blessing? No. He was filled with joy because the evidence was Christians were talking about Jesus to Jews and people of every other ethnicity. Are you with me? Okay? Church is not where we go to escape other kinds of people. Hello? It is for some people, not for us. All right? He saw this evidence of God's blessing. Hey, people that are not like each other are getting together and they're loving each other. That's different. He was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. If you are here and you like this because it's a small church, don't stay long because you're going to get uncomfortable. Not because we're going to do anything artificial or do anything crazy. Just over time, it's going to grow. Okay? Now, for a full year teaching large crowds of people, it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in front of one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers of Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So we've got a few things happening here, right? This is the church in Antioch. It is ethnically and culturally blended. Those are two different things. Sends relief to Judea and is first to be called Christians. Now, these are believers that are following what the apostles were teaching, which was what? Everything that Jesus taught. And the direct result of that was that people of multiple ethnicities and cultures were loving on each other in a way public enough that outsiders said, that's different. We need to make up a name for them. Hello? Okay, that's what was happening. Now, how did the love of God that was in their hearts already show itself? When they found out that people in another city were going through a natural disaster and needed help, they did something. They got together, they pulled together some money, and they sent it to people in need. Okay? So it is the love of God in action. Okay? Now, chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Okay? Just a couple pages there. Chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. So this is Peter talking. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we're all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about the miracles and signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. When they had finished, James stood and said, "Brothers, listen to me. Peter has told you about the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And this conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophets predicted, as it is written." And he quotes Isaiah 45. "Afterward, I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it so that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles, all those I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken. He who made these things, he who made these things known so long ago." Now, James finishes his sentence with this, and this is important. So my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Now, this is important. Not only are they gathering together, regardless of educational, economic, or ethnic differences, or personalities, or methods, But they are also saying, hey, Jesus sent this great grace to us. We are all the same in that respect. That's right. Do you understand? And he's saying we should not make it more difficult for outsiders to become insiders. This is important. Why is this church different than other churches that you may have been to? Because this church is starting right now. And right now, it's starting in a way to try to focus on the very basics of the Bible and not do anything else that would make it more difficult for someone who has never been to a church to come in. Why would we make it more difficult? Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus in prophecy is predicted to be the stumbling stone, right? Just believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, wow, that is crazy enough. I should not put on people, you've got to wear a tie, or you've got to act like this, or you've got to do this, you've got to, my own thoughts, right? What happened with the Jews is they had the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and then they added to it the Talmud, all this extra law. We church folks do that too. I am one of them. I'm not better. I'm not different. I'm just now realizing this and trying with our leadership team here to do everything we can to not put on people more than is biblically right. Right? And when we do church, this is what the founders, this is not my opinion. It's so important that you get this. This is what the founders said. Why should we make it more difficult for them? Now, what were they talking about? Circumcision. Whoa, we don't talk about that on Sunday mornings. That's a little crazy. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up because what they were talking about was a tradition that was old that God initiated, that God was done with. It teaches us a lesson. We don't have time for that today. It teaches us a lesson, but it was not, Jesus never said, God never explicitly said that it was for believers that were under the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And so the elders of the church are talking to each other and they're saying, listen, look at these people from all different educational, economic, ethnic backgrounds are coming in and they don't do some of these practices. We should focus on what the basics are and not add to that things that would make it more difficult for them to come. Now, I might use a different translation of the Bible to study the Bible, but the Bible that I read on Sunday mornings is a Bible to try to make it as easy for you as possible to come to Jesus. Not because I think it's trendy and you should follow me with how I do things. Are you listening? Right? That's important. Okay. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. Now, don't get it twisted. It's not up to you. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not my church. It's not your church. Amen. Remember that before you complain. It's Jesus' church, right? And he said, I will build my church. He didn't say, you go save people. Listen, I have never saved anyone. Now, I have led a lot of people to Jesus, but I have never saved anyone. If you're here because you're looking for a Savior, you're looking for Jesus Christ, not me. Right? But when we get that right, the church can be strengthened in its faith and it can grow larger every day. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 18. Everyone doing okay? Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me." We need to remember that God sees in Baltimore not what you see. We have people that we think will never come to church. They're just not that kind of person. Whoa! You are twisted. Did God create all humans? Yes. Does he want all to be saved? Yes. Right? Okay? Go to our website. I've listed some scriptures this month for you to read through. Right? God wants all men to be saved. God is saying, many people in this city belong to me. Why do I say we cannot start churches fast enough? Because I've done the math. Even with the churches that are shuttered in this city, there are not enough seats for everyone in this city to hear about Jesus. Is that our goal? The 50-plus pastors that I've already met in this city, we share one thing in common. It is not a competition. You are not mine. Hello? You are not my people. You are God's people. It is not a competition. We are here to reach as many by any means necessary. Because the heart of God says, many people in this city belong to me. Okay? Now, let's talk some real quick nuts and bolts. If I look at the book of Acts, I look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, which are letters that fill most of the rest of the New Testament, what are some very basic in every city, which you, if you look at it, what you'll find is that in different cities, the churches looked different ways. Okay? Even the churches, a lot of them that were started by the same people. They look different ways, but if I reduce it to common denominators, what are the things? Sorry, math. Oh, I know. It's like saying a bad word on a weekend. What are the things that are common among each church? Here's the elements. We talked last Sunday about regenerated members. What I mean by that is the church people that outsiders said, that's a church, were a group of people that were getting together at a set place at a set time, and what they held in common was that they were followers of Jesus. They had experienced salvation. The theological word is regeneration, a new birth, or what people call being born again. A second element is the sacraments, communion, water baptism, great examples of these. Okay, we see that in the origin story of the church. Third, outreach. If you read the letters, many, many examples of see a need, meet it. And many examples of believers not needing their pastor's permission to meet the need. Not needing the church to cut the check. Whoa, now you're getting serious. Okay. Number four, qualified leaders. Okay. Common denominator, every church, set people, set time, qualified leaders. Number five, discipline. Okay. Now, if you're going to spend your time on a Sunday morning to come here, please take some time to learn about what the heck we are. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody with my euphemisms. So here are some scriptures for you, okay? Scriptures where you can find in the Bible these nuts and bolts. I will give you a minute to write these down, okay? Do you know that in the Bible there is no good example of passive learners? Do you know the Bible only has examples of good examples of active learners? Do you know that if you want to have a full life, a blessed life, your best life now, and all those catchy things, it takes work. Right? You start off at a place of, I'm saved. Hello? Right? You start off at a place of, listen, it's only by the grace of Jesus, which is that goodness that we do not deserve. That's where it starts. But then after that, it comes to a place of you need to do something about it. Now, what I'm not talking about is some kind of weird legalism that is me putting my list of what God has asked me to do on you. No, that's not right. But it is you going to God for yourself and asking God what He has asked you to do. Are you with me? Now, I want you to know the scripture references that list what are the requirements of me. Right? If you're going to be a pastor, an elder in the church, the first requirement is that you be a one-woman man. That is the literal translation of the Greek, a one-woman man. That means that my eyes do not wander to another woman. I'm celebrating my 16th wedding anniversary, our 16th year together this week. I'm celebrating the fact that Rebecca is my standard of beauty. I am created for her. My body is hers. When I read the passages in the Bible about marriage, it says that what she wants, she gets. That's what submitting to each other means. It's not an egalitarian society. That's what God's agape love means. That's what the Bible means. Right? She says, I want you to shower before you come to bed. I'm in the shower. I want you to put some product in your hair. There it goes. I want you to shave it off. There it goes. Right? What she wants, she gets. Everyone have enough time to write these scriptures down? Not quite yet? All right. Church discipline, okay? Church discipline is something that nobody likes to talk about. But it is something that is written into the Bible. It is something that is in the Constitution and bylaws and of our church here. And it is something that is a biblical element, that it's not just a greasy grace free-for-all. You can just do whatever you want to do. There is forgiveness and there are consequences. Okay? I want you to have the scriptures so that you can understand what that means. Again, I don't take it lightly that you come here. I think it's amazing that you come here. It thrills me that you do, but it's not my church, it's God's church, right? But if you're going to come here, I think you really ought to know, what are you coming to? And so that shouldn't be shaped by my opinion. This is City Bible Church. We're in the city. We believe in the Bible. We want you to connect for yourself with the God of the Bible. That's what was happening when the church was actually functioning. If that's the case, you need to understand how it works. Okay? We're good? Let's keep going. If you need more, you can ask me and I can email you. But I wanted you to try to write it down. Then big themes. Let's talk about big themes as we bring this to a close, okay? Big themes. The things that you cannot avoid. If you read your Bible, which I do suggest that you do, if you read your Bible, what you cannot avoid is that people that were within, that outsiders were calling the church, treated each other like a family, and they worked in concert with each other. It wasn't just a mess. It wasn't anarchy. They worked in concert with each other like parts of a body. Okay? So I'll give you these scripture references to help you understand what that means. We work together. Okay? There's organization is not a devil idea. It is a God idea. Now, I know it's easy for us to buck organization. Now, did you notice that the first two parts of this series were about you as an individual? Because, see, if you as an individual don't know who you are in Christ, you can't be placed in the right part of the body. What we want more than anything else, as we serve Jesus and serve this city, is for you to find the right spot. I coached 3 years of high school soccer, was 43-3 as a coach. If you put a player in the wrong position, it affects everybody on the field. Are you with me? We want you to be in the right position. And I might not know what that is. I pray for you. I pray for you every day. Everyone in this room, you are an answer to prayer. You know there's over 600 people across the United States that are praying for you? Seriously. You are an answer to prayer. But not so we can dominate you and scrub you of your identity. When the church works in concert, you should be put in the right place, a place that fits you, where you're released and where you are happy. Does that make sense? That's the way it should be. So that means that you should have a sense of belonging. What does that mean? To belong means I'm a part of something where I can give and where I receive. To belong means I feel love, acceptance, and affection. I am cared for. To belong means I am not useless. I make a difference and I'm important. Now, if we are working together well as a family and a body, that's how it should be here. That's how we should function. We have a few new people here, so I'm going to tell this story one more time. I told it last week. There's a well-known dream that was written where someone dreamt that they died. And they were in the afterlife, and they were standing in a hallway, and one door was marked heaven, and one door was marked hell. For whatever reason, they went into the door marked hell first, and they saw in this huge banquet hall a table set for a feast. And at every place in the table, a skeleton sitting there with a spoon in hand. Now that spoon was fixed to their hand, and the spoon was longer than the length from their hand to their mouth, so they could not feed themselves. I was puzzled by this, didn't know what to make of it, walked out of the room, walked into the room marked heaven. Same banquet hall. Table set for a feast. Everyone alive and enjoying the feast with the same spoons fixed to their hands, but they were feeding each other. The church is not an organization. It's not an event you come to. It is when you get together and love each other the way the Bible says that we should. Are you with me? Now, I want to illustrate this point just a little bit. I need some help. Ben, will you stand? Will you stand in the doorway right here for me, please? Now, believe it or not, when we got ready to move here, this room had not been built yet. Okay? This room didn't exist, only the bigger ones. And we started, when we first started coming in here, there was six of us. That was amazing. Okay? Late January, February, March of 2011, right? Now there's a few more, right? Every one of you at some point had to walk through this door, right? And when you walked through this door the first time, what did you feel? Just before you saw or felt anything in here?
Excited.
Mm-hmm. Curious?
Curious.
Okay. Anyone else? What did you feel the first time you walked in the door before you got to know anybody? Nervous? Yeah. Right? Okay, thank you. Honesty. That's good. A little nervous, right? A little unsure of what was going on. Now, let's say that this is not Ben. Let's just call him Jack. Okay?
Yeah, I'm dead nervous.
let's say that Jack had parents that were believers, but kind of a fractured home situation, never really went to church. Doesn't have any concept of the Bible, God's love for him, Jesus, what's possible through repentance of sin and all that, right? He's got a past, right? Right? He's got issues. We've got tissues, okay? He's coming in, and he's not quite sure what to expect, okay? Now, Josh, will you come and stand right here, please? Steve, will you come? Daniel, will you come? And TJ, will you come and stand down there? Well, it's okay. And Daniel, go ahead and stand down on the end. And Steve, if you'll stand right here. Okay. Now, Josh, single, by the way, right? Very smart guy, okay? And a compassionate guy. And he loves sports, okay? All this true so far?
All true.
Oh, you're still single?
Still single.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Josh is here. Josh has been coming to church. Got Josh, good parents, let's say, okay? Good parent, home, doesn't have the same issue that Ben has coming in, right? Has learned a little bit about his Bible, God's love, okay? Steve, not single, he's married, right? Couple kids, right? Different background than Josh, right? Say different situation with his parents growing up. We're conjecturing, okay? We're making stuff up, right? Different situation. And at the same time, kind of has an issue with being nervous and insecure. Okay? Now, TJ, no nervousness, no insecurity, no stress, sleeps like a baby. No kids. Right? Newly married. Okay? Never really been nervous, stereotypical, type A male. Five guys going to get in a car, they throw him the keys. He's Tim Tebow, right? Okay. Daniel, also single, but younger. Okay.
Very younger.
Very, right. He's not 30 yet. Right, so Daniel, single, right? Some insecurities, not really the one driving the car all the time, but loves God with a deep passion. And unbeknownst to you, spends a lot of time in prayer and in the Bible and is grounded in his faith and knows who he is on the inside. Now, when Ben walks in, right, as Ben comes and he walks in the door, first person he meets is Josh, right? Wow. Now, what does Ben feel? Firm handshake. Less nervous. Right? Smile. He got a smile. He's a little bit less nervous. Right? He comes for a number of weeks. He meets Steve. He's right?
Awesome t-shirt.
He observes that Steve and his wife love each other and their kids are not too crazy. Right? And that's important to Ben because Ben doesn't have kids and he's wondering if that life is possible. Are you with me? Okay? Now, he gets in the church a little bit more. He meets TJ.
Good morning.
Right? He notices that TJ has this calm confidence. Right? He thinks, I would like to have more calm confidence. Okay?
Strange urge to give him my keys.
Let's say they go work on a house together. They go pound nails. They feel like they know each other a little bit better. They start to share. Ben is feeling a little bit better. Right? Now, Ben is a little bit deeper in the church. He meets Daniel. Okay? Now, some of Ben's background with his parents, he started to feel he can open up a little bit more because of his conversations with Steve. Okay? Now, he meets Daniel, and in a conversation with Daniel, he hears about the Bible and what God has to say about everyday life. So he becomes more curious about the Bible and starts to become more comfortable in his own skin. Right? That makes him a better employee. He gets a raise and a promotion. Now he's in a better place. All right, now let's go back to the front door. Now, I want you to turn and face this way. Okay? All right? And I want you to turn and face this way. Okay. Now, I want you to turn and face this way. Okay. Now, what are we talking about? Big themes, Bible, how does the church actually work? If we look at the big themes and we reduce things down, how does this work? Why does this make a difference? Okay? Why are there less men in church than there should be? Because they don't get it. Because they don't understand how this actually works. Because there are some men who, right, through kids can stress you out, even the nice ones. Right? Bills, right? The IRS, whatever. It's easy to show up once a month. So when Ben comes in on the first Sunday of the month, he meets Josh, right? He has that contact, that little bit of, I can open up that little bit of strength. But he doesn't get to meet Steve. No offense, Steve's been very consistent in attendance, right? Because Steve said, you know what, I went once, I'm done for a while, I've got other things going on in my life. Are you with me? So when Ben travels through the church, he is not getting as much strength through the little things. I'm not talking about 20 hours a week of your life, right? He doesn't get that. He doesn't see. And people don't know everything going on in your life. He doesn't see the kids, the wife. He doesn't see, hey, maybe that's possible for me. So he's not as curious about coming back. Remember, he still doesn't know Jesus as his Savior. He has normal curiosities, normal insecurities, normal desires, normal dreams, right? Well, a normal guy might think, hey, at some point, I want to be married, I want to have kids. Is that possible? He doesn't get to see that because maybe the only thing he sees is Mrs. Steve with the kids, and she looks stressed out. So when Ben comes in, he says, this guy comes to church, but I'm not really sure why. But I don't see the dads in the church. Are you listening? I don't see the fathers in the church, so maybe this Jesus thing doesn't apply to my desire to be a dad. Okay? So he gets a little bit deeper in the church, and he sees TJ two times a month, but not the other days because he's off in the gun club. And he thinks to himself, well, everyone around me thinks that I'm a strong person, but on the inside I have some insecurities and I have some fears, and it seems like the man's man in the church doesn't take it too seriously. So maybe this Jesus thing doesn't really, it's not necessary for men that already have it all together. Are you with me? Okay, so now he comes to Daniel. Now, unfortunately, Daniel had a tiff with the pastor. Okay? Daniel got wounded. Daniel got his feelings hurt. Daniel took himself out of the game. Daniel doesn't go to church anymore. At all. So when Ben comes in, he meets Josh, still not sure why he goes to church. He doesn't get to meet Daniel, who is a deep lover of the Bible. And he doesn't get to learn that he can find through the scriptures the power of salvation. So maybe when Ben comes deeper and he gets to know me, our personalities just don't fit. Right? And I'm realistic. Not everybody gets me. I'm a little strange. Right? You do not need to click with me to attend this church. Hello? So maybe he doesn't click with me. So now all he's got is Josh. And Josh is nice. Josh is intelligent. Josh is smart. But Josh is not married, does not have kids, is maybe not as much a leader, a man's man, the kind of man that Ben wants to grow up to be. And maybe he's not as much a lover of the Bible, but Josh is still a good guy. Right? But do you see that the strength of the church is weakened when someone takes themselves off the field? Wow. One Sunday a month, two Sundays a month, take yourself out of the game entirely? Wow. Now, turn back in if you could, please, guys. Now, what happens when Ben starts to do... sorry. What happens when Ben starts to do life in deeper community? Okay? When he's been coming to church long enough for whatever, for him, is his comfort level, where he starts to really open up. Where the 30-second conversation, maybe not, Ben has come to faith. He's confessed his sins. He's confessed his faith in Jesus Christ. He's come to faith. Now he's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Right? Spiritually, he's transformed. His eternal destination has changed. He's on his way to heaven. But just as Jesus told the parable of the seeds, right, now there are things trying to pluck that seed out of his life to insert doubt. Now if he goes into deeper community, what he finds is that Josh is the kind of guy who always does what he says he's going to do. Wow. And so when he asks questions, maybe Josh, firm believer in Jesus, firm believer in the Bible, but hasn't learned that thing from that book that he is questioned on, what Josh can do is Josh can take Ben and say, I know that Daniel will help us. Are you here? Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Because what can happen when we start to grow into spiritual community from the true sense of that word is that we connect with each other in ways that are meaningful. Hey, you know, I'm a single mom. I need help changing the oil in my car. Amen. Right? It's like 1,500 miles overdue. It's smoking and I don't know why. Right? And I don't have the money to get an oil change. Right? When we, the people, start to connect with each other in meaningful ways. Hello? When we come with God's agape love, His sacrificial love, with that spoon to serve each other. What happens when we come, we don't take ourselves out of the game, we attend consistently. Listen, it's not about me. Honestly, if you attend once a month, that's your deal, it's your work schedule, whatever. Nate's missing Brittany today, she's got to work once every three Sundays. It's fine. It does not offend me. That's not the point of this message. Are you with me? The point of this message is anything that has ever ticked you off about another church before, any lack that you have had, if we are doing church the Bible way and we are all engaged and we all come in to love each other and to help each other, it can fix it.
That's right.
It can fix it, right? Because if I've experienced God's love, I've come to faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I get the fact that it is His grace, His gift that I don't deserve, that we all get, right? If I come to that place, then when someone walks in, they don't find an empty room. when someone walks in, they are way more likely to connect with the person that's the best fit, that meets that need, that helps them. And it doesn't have to be a 10-hour-a-week thing out of that person. It could be a short conversation at lunch today. Hey, what are you going through? Is there any way I can help you? Right? Sandra's about to move to Florida, which we're sad to see her go. Sandra needs help moving. Right? Anyone here like to move? Nobody likes to move, right? We can help each other. If we are helping each other, don't you think that outsiders will say there's something different there? Right? Because then God's love has changed us to a point where we can work in concert. We can work like a body. We can work like a family. Are you going to have fights in your family? We got scripture to help us learn how to deal with that. Right? You're going to have spats. You're going to have love-hate relationships. You're going to have things you disagree on. You're all different for a reason. But if you take yourself off the field, then there is a gap. You might, I don't preach, so I'm not... What value system is that? That's not right. Right? Okay, they're going to the restaurant. Do you get the point? Right? We serve each other. The more that you are here, the more that you are engaged, the more that you're connected. That's why we have the website, we have the Facebook, we have the Twitter. We put out email addresses, phone numbers, any way that we can to help you connect to each other. The more connected you are to each other, think about it, the more complete your life is. What happens if you're trying to meet someone else's need and they're trying to meet your need? Does life get better? Yeah, that's God's design. That's what we find in the Bible. So just a couple of closing thoughts. The church is a great place to connect with God. Amen? Amen. That means I agree. The church is a great place to connect with people. Right? That's the point. We can all benefit from relationships that are not a drain. Do you have enough of those? Right? We can all benefit from more relationships that are life-giving, that are a blessing, that are a strength. Why are we doing this? People need Jesus. The Bible is very, very clear. The church is God's vehicle of hope. We cannot start churches fast enough. Okay? Our big three are very simple. Connect, grow, share. We want to help you connect with the God of the Bible. It's why we exist. It's even our filter. It's how I know if we're not being successful. If you come here and you are unable to connect with the God of the Bible, we are failing. We want to help you connect with your relationship. We want to help you grow in your relationship with God. We want to help you share the love of God with other people. Okay? We want to help you connect with life-giving relationships. That's why we do stuff like lunch. If it were just, I could go take a nap. No, we do stuff like the lunch because we want to help you connect with life-giving relationships. We want to help you grow in your life, right? And grow in relationships with other people. And we want you to be able to share life with each other. We want you to be able to share life with each other. Now, at the end of September, we are going to have a Vision Sunday. It's kind of one of our once-a-year traditions. At the end of September, we're going to talk about, okay, we've already talked about why. Now we're going to talk about how. Where are we going? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Now, if you've been here for a while, you've heard me say over and over, we get together on the weekends, and we get together in homes, in life groups. That's how we're going to do this. This church is going to be architected in a simple way. It's a two-wing bird. We're not starting a daycare. We're not starting a Christian school. If that's your vision, we will help you start those things. Right? We will help you start those things. But a Bible basic church to make it as easy as possible to help people find Jesus, we're not starting a record company. If that's your vision, I'll help you with that. I have a background a little bit in that industry, right? We're not going to start Wednesday night services. We're not going to start Sunday night services. We're not going to start all these extra classes and all these extra things. Because the point is, you need to have time to carve out in your week to be the church. If you don't have time, if you're spending too much time in church, you cannot be the church. Are you with me? You've got to be able to budget time, set aside time. That means, you know, hospitality word does not mean having church folks over to your house. The hospitality word means you're bringing unbelievers into your house. Yep. Read your Bible. That's kind of hard to do if you got Friday night church, Wednesday night church, Sunday night church. Right? We have family night. Almost every week on a Monday night, you are not welcome in my house. It is time for just our family. Right? We believe God gives us priorities. We believe that this God thing should help produce a life that works.
Right.
Even in the face of challenges. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk in more detail September 30th on that Sunday, a Vision Sunday, to talk in a little bit more depth about what we're going to try to attempt to do over the next 12 months. God's given us big dreams. Mm-hmm. God has put us in the middle of a city that needs Jesus.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to close this time of prayer just very briefly. The kids are going to come in, and then Ben is going to lead us in prayer over all the students and teachers as they get ready to go back to school. How many of you remember what it was like to go back to school? Right? Okay, pull up some compassion up out of your insides, and let's pray over the students and teachers. Okay, let me close in prayer. God, I thank you that the Bible is so specific in what a church is, why it exists, and how it should work. And I pray that you would help us to not only be hearers of the word, but also doers. Help us to really love on each other and encourage the tar out of each other this morning. Lord, as we share lunch together and as we pray over each other, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, Ben is going to lead us and give us some instruction in how we're going to do prayer. Come on in, guys. Come on in.
All right, so back to school week, like we said. And so today we want to pray for the kids who are going back to school.